I don't know how to mute that.
For a rant, it's game three tonight.
Sean's been talking this whole time and he doesn't realize he's muted.
You muted me. Nice play. What I was going to say is, Mashup 104, welcome to it. I figured... And Tuz is having a little bit of fun here by trying to... this is how we're going to start 104? Okay. He's upset because the Oilers are in the playoffs. He's upset like so many of the haters out there. Leafs fans are butthurt because they're about to lose to the Bruins again. Knox, you're mad. You're mad, right? Your star goalie out. Okay, see ya. We'll get Nashville in the second round. Not a big deal. Jets, well, you drew the Avs, and by the looks of it, you're going to. Flames fans, you're so irrelevant. Just stay on the links, okay? Stay in the background, Tuz, and keep muting me. That's all you got today, okay? Ottawa, Montreal, you're irrelevant. I'll let Tuz do what he's got to do on Quebec. So all you haters, and yeah, I'm looking your way, Vance Crow, who's predicted New York, and they're up a couple games, and he's all of a sudden excited. I'm looking at you. It's game three tonight. Let's go, Oilers. And when they win, you can all beat it, okay? Beat it. That's what I got for you today, Tuz. That's what I got. Welcome to Mashup 104, playoff hockey. I know you don't know much about that right now. I'm sorry for you on that. Not that sorry, but I am a little sorry.
I don't think you are.
No, but I'm not.
You will be.
Wait, you're going to mock? You're going to try and mock me along the way? That's fine.
You're going to be about as sorry as your parents were when they found out they were having their last little baby kid.
They tried to get it right. They finally did, big fella. That's how it is, okay? Mashup 104 to all you haters. Hate on. Oilers going all the way.
You guys missed out on a real good Tuz is an idiot this week just so that Sean could pat himself on the dick.
We could save it. And
I'm going to shove it.
I'm sporting a little April Hutchinson today. There you go.
Yeah. Nice. I got a little bit of Quick Dick McDick.
There you go. A little QDM and a little April Hutchinson.
Yeah, he just had calf 222 the other day.
I saw that.
Little boy. Hopefully
did you see what
boy.
I put? It's a boy. And what a boy.
Yeah.
Homer, that's the umbilical cord. It's a girl. happy Airborne Friday to Jamie Sinclair, wherever you're at. I know you pay attention, so happy Airborne Friday. We got the Coots 2, 804 days. That's Christopher Carbert and then Tony Olenek. I just sat with Tony Olenek this week. That was a pretty raw conversation, at least from where I sit, knowing that he's on the other side of it and where he sits. So 804 days, the saga continues, Tuz.
Did you send him a cake with a file in it?
I did not send him a cake with a file in it, but maybe we should.
Just as like a blatant, like, there's no way it would ever get into the prison, but just as a blatant F you to the establishment.
Yes. Okay. Shall we begin? All we right, have yeah, lots we can, lots to get on to today.
We got stuff to do today, so let's keep it flowing.
Nothing.
Fucking event or something. I can't even remember.
Nothing to SNC here. A former SNC-Lavalin Group Inc. executive has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison in connection with the bribery scheme for a bridge repair contract in Montreal. A police investigation revealed that SNC-Lavalin executives paid bribes of roughly $2.3 million in order to secure a $128 million contract to repair the Jacques Cartier bridge deck in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. In 2017, the article went on, Michel Fournier, former chief executive of the Federal Bridge Corp, admitted to receiving the bribes through Swiss bank accounts between 97 and 2004. Fournier, who served as chief of staff to Jean Chrétien when he was opposition leader in the early 1990s, was sentenced to five and a half years in prison and has since received full parole. SNC, one other thing on this story, SNC-Lavalin, now known as Atkins Realis, agreed in 2022 to pay Quebec nearly $30 million over 3 years to settle criminal bribery charges stemming from work on the bridge that spans the St. Lawrence River between Montreal and Laguiole, Quebec. The deal's so-called deferred prosecution agreement allowed the company to continue doing business with governments of Quebec and Canada as well as abroad. So there you go. They're no longer SNC-Lavalin. They are Atkins Realis.
And how do you like that Uno turnaround card that fucking Quebec pulled on them? Oh, you're bribing people so that you can get more work? Okay, well, you know what? We're going to do this deferred prosecution agreement, which is bullshit, but you're going to have to pay us $30 million over 3 years in order to continue doing work. How do you like the shoe on the other frog foot?
I'm Ron Burgundy. Damn it. Who put it on the teleprompter? Okay. Biden, 4 more years. Pause.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. Pause.
Pause. Damn it! Who put it on the teleprompter?
I get the fact that Canada's not a serious country, but Jesus Christ, get your shirt together, states. Oh, yeah, this is also the same guy who, on a side note, said that his uncle got eaten by cannibals the other day.
Yeah. Liberals on the EV of their destruction. I don't know, that's clever. Okay. Despite the launch of several new electric vehicle EV models across a wide range of segments and price points, the push for widespread adoption has stalled with consumers, according to a recent survey from Auto Trader, which revealed that interest in EVs has dropped for a second year in a row. The Toronto Star saying earlier this week, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Premier Doug Ford announced Thursday that Honda will build 4 new factories in Ontario, producing 240,000 electric vehicles annually as the Japanese auto giant expands its footprint, fueled by $5 billion in public money. Of course, the expansion will create 1,000 jobs.
Now, $5 billion, real quick, $5 billion for 1,000 jobs. What's the math, Sean?
A lot.
$5 million per job. Our government is giving them the equivalent of, for every job they make, $5 million. You make a job, here's $5 million. You make a job, here's $5 million. Sean, the math doesn't really work. You could literally give them $2 million, $3 million, and it's like what they'd make over their entire career. Like, give me $5 million, and I'll give myself a job for the next, well, however long you want to say it is.
Well, the mashup would go up a notch, that's for sure.
No. If it was just me, I would keep it all.
The Ford's Western Standard also had an article out. Ford's Model E all electric unit reported first quarter losses that exceeded $1.3 billion. And if works out to a whopping $132,000 for each EV sold in the quarter, that's more than triple the $40,000 it lost on each electric car and truck in the same quarter of last year.
Whether they sell it or not, they're losing $100,000 every time they make one of these fucking things. And everybody keeps talking about how nobody wants to adopt them. They're like redheaded orphans.
Canadian polls now with slightly less garbage. Okay, let's pull up. I don't know why I left Biden there. Whoops. Here we go.
You wouldn't be the first person to just leave him standing stunned at a podium.
Here, who would make the best prime minister? Here's a poll. Poilievre, 35%. I chuckled at this one out loud because 36% are either unsure or none of them.
Yes. And so here's Angus Reid. I don't know. Maybe they're turning a corner. Angus Reid started following me on Twitter a little while ago. And I'm like, the only thing I've ever said about you is talking about how bad you are. But sure. Anyway, I like the fact that they give you the options. It's not just who would you pick amongst them, but what if you don't like any of them? And what if you don't know? And so, yeah, none of them, as in they all suck. We need to put it on the ballots too. But for right now, it's great that we're finally starting to see it in polls.
This was another one, Quebec independence polling, 53% saying remain. And then here's another one. Latest poll shows conservatives with 229 seats, up 110, and the liberals down 127. Eesh.
With and the then, Bloc in opposition and the liberals in fourth place.
Correct.
Now, this one's a little bit of an outlier, but at the same time, Canadian polls have done this thing where leading up to an election, they vastly understate what the conservatives are projected to get. And then at the last minute, they'll do a big adjustment poll so that whenever you look at their polling data leading up to an election, it goes and then it hits the mark pretty much bang on. And that way they can still say that they're credible. Well, look, we said it was going to be this much right before the election, and it was. You're like, yeah, but a week before that and 2 weeks before that, you've said it was going to be a slaughterhouse going the other way, and you do that every single election. So it's, I don't know. It's interesting. I wonder if they're actually being a little bit more honest now. But this one is a bit of an outlier, but it has the Liberals being the fourth place party.
And then here's Angus Reid. You wanted to quote comment on this.
Yes. Half were asked the questions about the budget proposal before political questions. The other half got reverse order. So this is something I've talked about before, that the order of the questions will actually affect the outcome of the polling data. Okay, you know, this is something that Ken would know. I know this. You don't really when it comes to marketing polls and things like that. But one of the things I've always hated in the methodology is that they don't get into any granularity on any of this stuff. And here's Angus Reid talking about it. Hey, this is how we did it. We did half of them this way, half of them the other way, which is what you want to see.
I got a side note. I got a poll coming up for this weekend's Cornerstone Forum, and you both you and Ken tore it apart. Although I think it's going to be something that grows as we move forward year after year. So I chuckled. Yeah, like I'll make sure that Ken and Tuz will be in charge of creating the poll for me so that it can read properly and everything.
I think
else.
It would be great for me and Ken to end up duking it out over something like that. We've never really collaborated together. I wonder if we'd butt heads. He's one of those guys I'd actually genuinely enjoy butting heads with, because it would obviously, like, just without a doubt, whatever we're doing would be better as a result of it. Okay, fine. Don't say anything.
I don't know what to say other than I think you'd probably get along more than you think. The budget imbalanced itself. When Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland first introduced a hike to Canada's capital gains tax, she promised that the measures would only affect an infinitely small proportion of wealthy Canadians. Only 0.13% of Canadians with an average income of $1.4 million will pay more on their capital gains tax, she said in her April 16th budget speech. But just a week later, the tax is yielding a raft of unintended consequences much larger than a few millionaires seeing a hit to their take-home money. More than 3,500 entrepreneurs and tech managers have now signed their names to a petition forecasting the change will push investment out of Canada, shocker, and to the United States and crater Canadian productivity. Shocker again. Critics of the tax hike include the founder and manager of Shopify, Canada's largest tech company, but perhaps most dramatically, Canadian doctors are warning that the tax will further exacerbate the country's critical shortage of general practitioners. I'm going to pull you here to Dr. Michael Verbero. Numbers don't lie. This is why you can't find a family doctor and why practitioners are closing. No business can survive losing 20% income in 4 years. Prices of everything have gone up, but physicians are trapped between a provincial government not funding and a federal government reaching into the pockets. And he said, what about the previous decade? 11% of loss, put it all together, and family practice funding has decreased 34% in 20 years. Twos?
Yeah, and so while that may only directly affect him, how many people work in that practice? How many nurses are there? The administrators, the custodial staff? How about the person who does fixing things and whatnot for the management company that the strip mall owns? All these little things get affected, right? When they say, oh, it's only going to affect, this is the same shit as the carbon tax is going to be net positive for 8 out of 10 Canadians. You're like, okay, if you only look at this tiny part of it, that's technically true, okay? But what about phase two thinking? What about the ripple effect? What about the deadweight losses caused in the economy? Isn't it weird that you have never, ever, ever heard the Liberals or the NDP talk about deadweight economic losses? It's because they don't understand it. It's when you artificially increase the price of something, you get less of it, and the economy slows down as a result of it. And so, yeah, you've got 23% of those making less than $50,000 saying the new capital gains tax will affect them. Well, you know what? There's about 77% of the people polled don't know what the fuck they're talking about, because even if it's some residual effect, it's going to hit them.
You know, did you watch Chris Sims' debate with the professor from, I want to say, McMaster? Quote me on that. You haven't seen that?
I saw that it happened, but I
tell you what, talking about carbon tax and I don't know, trying to save the planet. Chris Sims, shout out to you because you listen to the show. We got a lot of time for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. She did a wonderful job. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, go look through Chris Sims' Twitter or mine for that matter. I commented on it. I thought she did a fantastic job, and it shows the disconnect too. Right? They can't see all the added parts
here.
Well, I tell you what, it is well worth the listen.
All right.
Legends never retire. Mattel forged a forced leave. So this is a career criminal. Okay. His name, Mattel, forged a forced leave order of a judge in a court of Jihar and replaced him as a magistrate there. Mattel became a dedicated judge, sent few to jail, released most of the under trials on bail. Cops estimated he committed over 1,000 crimes in his lifetime. Yeah. He ended up stealing cars and a whole bunch of things, but he forced out a judge, became a judge, and let people off.
Yeah. Yeah. And then because because the legal costs of being a career criminal were so high, he got his law degree so he could represent himself. You know, it's kind of like when real estate people get their realtor's license. And so anyway, he eventually becomes a judge. He's a lawyer in and amongst things here. The guy finally just had to slow down as he got into his 90s. But like, it's just imagine that opening bit from Raising Arizona, but over 70 years.
Man, that's a wild story. It's just a wild story. It's a fun little story of a career criminal doing kind of like a reverse job on the
judiciary system. Well, I mean, he only did it for a while, and then he went back to stealing shit. But
that's correct. Still. Completely unbiased journalism. Organizations across the country are gearing up for what they describe as the largest LGBTQ2S+ mobilization since they forgot the 2IA+. But hey,
they're not invited, Sean.
Mobilization since the push for marriage equality. Faye Johnston, president of the Society of Queer Momentum, says there will be rallies across Canada in May. I'm going to be honest too, as I stopped reading after a portion.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to find the exact word. Okay. Rallies will take place in a dozen large cities and towns, Johnstone said, and smaller communities are planning potlucks and pizza parties. Just a friendly heads up. If you go to a potluck that's being held by a bunch of people who cut their dicks off, don't get extra scoops of the Kraft dinner and hot dogs.
That's the whole reason you want. How long have you been thinking of that one for?
I actually already had it in here, and I didn't realize until I was going over this morning. I'm like, oh, that's a perfect joke. I'm going to wait for that. It wasn't part of the version 1.0. I just wanted to point out the fact that this is literally just a puff piece. CTV does absolutely nothing to be like, well, does it seem likely that this is going to happen? Did they name the specific communities? Are there track records of there being large turnouts for things like this? Is public perception going the other way? None of that. They're just like, oh, yeah, that Faye Johnston dude who wears too much makeup said they were going to be huge. And that dude knows what big is. So that was that's all I'd wanted to talk about. And then I looked at the potluck and I'm like, oh yeah, craft dinner and hot dogs. This stuff writes itself.
Pulliev pulls out all the stops. The conservative leader is facing questions after stopping to cheer on an anti-carbon tax convoy camp near the border between New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, where he bluntly accused the prime minister of lying about everything. In the video filmed by protesters who have been living at site for 3 weeks, Pulliev tells the group to keep it up and calls their protest a good old-fashioned Canadian tax revolt. Everyone hates the tax. This is him quoted. Everyone hates the tax because everyone's being screwed over. And he has also quoted saying people believed his lies. Everything he said was bullshit from top to bottom. And
shoe fits.
And here is, okay, so this is the video. And it's quoted as saying the irony, living in poverty, notice the $100,000 truck behind him with the $70,000 trailer. What a bunch of crap. And then somebody
notes to the rescue.
The truck in the background is a GMC Sierra that was built between 99 and 2006 with a current value of about between $7,000 to $18,000, depending on its options. When it was new, it sold for $26,000 to $48,000. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Everybody on the far left is calling this a far right thing because he stepped out of a trailer at one point and there was a tiny little Diagonalon flag hand drawn on the inside of it. And they're like, oh, it's Diagonalon. Diagonalon confirmed. There's the time traveling Coke goat all over again. And so anyway,
it's ridiculous.
CBC did a lame smear job. And then the Toronto Star did a lame smear job. And then some of the people there got really scared. And they're like, oh, we're not affiliated with Diagonalon or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Don't apologize. Like, I know lots of people. Some of them are probably in Diagonalon. Hell, I'm probably in Diagonalon. Everybody's in Diagonalon. Don't apologize. Just don't apologize.
Don't apologize.
Don't ever, if any of you are ever caught up in something like this, where some idiot, formerly employed, redheaded, quasi-journalist is trying to smear you by pointing behind her all the fucking time, don't apologize.
Yeah, we skipped over this one, too, and I know you wanted me to bring this up. This is Mr. Crumsworth. Well, you have attitudes.
Okay, so this is going back to the whole capital gains thing, where the Liberals, they took this big swing. They thought that the budget was going to turn everything around, and they were just going to, you know, one big haymaker, they're just going to land a big uppercut and knock the guy out, no matter how far they're falling back in the fight. And they thought this was going to be a big win, and then they get their fart drinkers like Max Fawcett to, I don't know if they go out of their way to get him to, or just he just does it on his own because he's short-circuited. But anyway, you know, when people looked at it and said, this is a bad idea, it's going to scare away investment. It's going to affect jobs. It's going to affect a lot of things. There's going to be ripple effects and deadweight losses. And then people like Max Fawcett, who I think works for the CBC now. I don't know. He blocked me when I said that he was boring and not funny. Anyway, he's like, okay, bye. And here's the thing. Crumsworth, who for fuck's sakes, come on this podcast already, dude. The Progs didn't really think this one through, and they didn't, and they never do. And this is the Bolsheviks killing all the farmers and then starving to death.
Yeah. And for people not watching, Mark McGrath, said
he's a financial planner. He's
had two conversations with business owners today that want to leave the country, just saying, and Max Fawcett quoted the tweet saying bye. And well, that isn't aging so well, is it?
No. And this, like the milk's still warm from the tit and it's already curdled.
You know, so what you're saying is Max Fawcett, can you imagine, folks, if I got Max Fawcett on here to have a live debate with Tooth? That'd be a lot of fun. Max, if you're listening, if somebody's out there,
tell me why I'd be interested in that.
Come on. That'd be fun, Tooth.
Why would I want to give that? The dude,
he has an audience. Drifter.
I don't care about his audience.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't care about him. Like the guy is just, his whole thing is to push everything that is going to wreck this country and this province as far as it can. Anytime he's met with any dose of reality, he just blocks the people or ignores it or does a bait and switch on their argument. The guy hasn't had an honest intellectual conversation in probably years. Okay.
Our friend QDM did Max Fawcett.
Yeah. And how did that end up going after they got to know each other a bit more?
Just saying. It'd be an interesting conversation for people to hear somebody who thinks differently than twos. Anyways, carry on. I'm giving more time than I need to on this. I just thought it'd be interesting. Update. Vaccine Injury Fund gets traction. The federal government has added $36.4 million to a program designed to support people who have been seriously injured or killed by vaccines since the end of 2020. Yes,
let me just stop you right here. The whole point here is the fact that Ottawa injects another $36 million into fund for those seriously injured or killed by vaccines, as reported on CTV News, April 24th, or as reported on the Tuesday mashup, April 19th.
Right you are, sir. Right you are. Check your pockets. An American tourist visiting Turks and Caicos with his family has been jailed for carrying hunting ammunition in his carry-on bag. And instead of paying a fine, a new island law now imposes potential prison time for tourists possessing firearms or ammunition.
You always have that irrational fear whenever getting into an airport. You're like, did I leave my rocket launcher in my check bag? Do I have some tank of napalm in my carry-on that I don't know about? And you always have that crazy thought, like, well, I don't know. And there was this one time, actually, I was flying to Spain and I was helping with a bunch of explosives at this place I used to work at, did wireline stuff. And then there was residue on the zippers. And that was a huge deal. I was tied up. Like, I almost missed the flight. I was there for like an hour. And I'm like, I was helping out another division. And so, no, I don't have any actual documentation that I work with this stuff, but this company does my stuff and that stuff. And I was helping out with them and I was putting together these guns. And then obviously some of it ended up on my hands. It's just on the zipper handles of this bag.
And I'm completely trustworthy. I'm twos. Trust me. I'm a professional.
Before I ended up on all the watch lists.
Stillbirths abound. Rates of stillbirths have risen sharply among young women in Alberta. Health authorities say there are many possible reasons for the increase, as well as a need for further investigation. Now, I want to pull up the chart because I thought this was going to be COVID indication. Now, me and Tuz have been talking about it maybe at times, but you can see the early hump is between 2017 and 2019. Okay. So there's big jump.
My hump.
But there is a second big jump, 2020 from 2020 to 2023. I mean, 21 to
2022.
Yes, and we don't know what happened
roughly
there.
Roughly 9 months after.
All I was going to show was here is the infectious syphilis cases in Alberta. That's the growth of it since 2012. So that's something that the article talks about. And I was telling twos, like, the opioid crisis has only grown in the last decade. It hasn't gone away. So yep. Not only could it be COVID indication, it could also be a few other things that are, you know,
I think you're
adding on
specific things on this graph. And granted, correlation isn't causation. Right? Correct. But you've got the one bump associated with this huge jump in syphilis. And then you've got another bump, which has absolutely nothing to do with any large supporters of mainstream media that do lots of advertisements at the start of news broadcasts. Okay. Nothing to do with that. Just forget it. It's not the case.
See, it should have been stillbirths abound. Covindication causation doesn't make it. Yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter.
How long do you want the headline to be, Sean?
On this one, a little bit longer. I think I could have rattled off a little longer. Protesters take things seriously. Okay. This is, I'm going to pull up the video because it's probably better that way, for people to listen to. Okay. So here we go.
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
you get the point, right?
Yeah. So these.
Why are you protesting? I don't know.
This is just like when in BC you had people. Elizabeth May said that we needed to stop the construction of Trans Mountain Pipeline. They're like, yeah, it got built in the 60s, though, you dumb broad. And then afterwards, you had all these people saying, we don't want bitumen flowing through our province. They're like, yeah, except that pipeline doesn't carry bitumen. So quit your bitching, men.
Climate change season. Okay, here we go. There are 63 wildfires burning in Alberta's forest protection area as of Wednesday morning and 7 mutual aid fires, including one in the municipal district of Peace. More than 172 wildfires have already been extinguished across the province in 2024, and it's quoted here somewhere. We expect that almost all the wildfires we've experienced so far this year are human caused, given the point we're at in the season and the types of weather we're seeing, said Todd Lowen, Minister of Forestry and Parks. And then British Columbia, this is a CBC article of all places.
Yeah.
Wildfire crews are battling an out of control wildfire in the Cariboo region of British Columbia. One of 7 human caused blazes reported in the province central interior on Saturday afternoon. I can't believe that that little bit of journalism fell into a CBC.
Human caused. I don't know. The climate is changing in Canada.
I like to think we've played our part in that.
Yep.
Gay Pride Donuts. Oh boy. All right. Fine.
You're the most unrealistic. Oilers donuts. They're obviously made by somebody who's never watched a game in their life. Okay? Because you've got the donut, and then you've got some orange and blue sprinkles around it, and then you've got the Oilers logo right in the middle, and that's the crux of it. This is why they don't understand it. Because that's the first time a 5-hole's ever been covered in the history of the Oilers. Like, that doesn't look anything like Skinner.
It says, I'm boycotting my local Tim Hortons until the Oilers are eliminated. I live in Calgary, and you're trying to sell me an Oilers donut. I agree. The tweet makes sense to me. I can't imagine going to Edmonton and seeing Calgary Flames donuts. That doesn't compute in my head. But hey, you know, teach their own.
Probably too nutritious for Edmonton.
Co-vindication. I've been waiting for it. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to pull it up here. Bingo. Okay. Soldiers dismissed over COVID shot refusal get waiver for re-enrollment. This is Donald Best. Obviously, he's been on a guest on the podcast. After firing or causing 400 plus military personnel to quit over their refusal to be injected with the experimental jabs, the Canadian Armed Forces are now begging them to return. The reasons for the about face are obvious given the absolute disaster of recruitment campaign that features tampons, rainbows, and a core message that straight white males are not welcome. I like this. How many of the 400 plus refuseniks will reenlist in the CAF? There you go. There it is.
Well, I mean, come back. Just if you guys come back, we'll give you as many tampons as you want. How do they think that's a selling feature? Canada is not ran by serious people, right? And so I
wish you were joking, but it's like, it's, you know, it's just like, it's so right there.
I feel like this would probably worked out really well for these guys in the long term, right? Obviously, it sucks to get fired from your job, especially one where you are literally putting your life on the line for the well-being of what you hope is for the well-being of the people of your country and other people around the world who can't really stand up for themselves either, right? But now the Canadian military has become an absolute travesty, and they gave them a free out, and now they're like, come back. And meanwhile, these guys have moved on to other things, hopefully, and they're probably getting a lot more fulfillment out of that than they would out of Operation Rainbow Shield.
Argentina is back, baby. In the first quarter of 2024, the South American country recorded a budget surplus of about 275 billion pesos, some 390 million at the official rate, he told national TV late Monday. This amounted to a surplus of 0.2% of GDP. This is the first quarter with a financial surplus since 2008, said Malay.
What do you want to say about that? If you cut out all of the stupid, extraneous, pointless government programs, you're not spending as much money. And then you don't need to borrow as much money, and you don't need to print as much money, and then your inflation goes down because you're not doing quantitative easing nearly as much. This is really basic stuff. The less money you're putting out, the less money you're required to take in. I don't know what to add to that.
I don't know what to add to that either. I give you my word as a Spaniard, a notorious cartel boss who reportedly planned to murder the heir to the Dutch throne and Prime Minister Mark Rutte has escaped prison due to a judicial mix-up in Spain. Macro Mafia leader Karim Boyarkhuizen was arrested in Marbella last January in a major operation that concluded a five-year money laundering investigation. Upon learning of his detention, Dutch authorities filed an extradition request with Spain's national court, asking the gang leader to be sent back to the Netherlands to face charges related to his drug trafficking empire. A whole bunch of judiciary tomfoolery and confusion went on, and when his money laundering case came up for the initial hearing at the provincial court in Malaga last month, the presiding judge agreed to release the gang chief on a bail of 50,000 euro. Boyarkhuizen, a billionaire who possesses bank accounts and properties around the world, promptly paid the cash and skipped town, and the authorities haven't seen him since.
I don't know. I mean, the nice thing is that Canada isn't the only country having issues with giving bad people bail. But I mean, this guy's literally planning to assassinate the leader of another country. I feel like maybe you shouldn't have given him bail.
Yeah, I agree.
It's nice to know that Canada, while not a serious country, is also not alone in things.
And we're not alone in things. You can take that to the bank. Okay, this is it's a guy, you'll see him on the bottom. This guy, the tweet reads, this guy has a job as a bank data scientist for TD Canada, position that averaged 98,000 per year, and proudly uploaded his video showing how much free food he gets from charity food banks. And so you can see him walking through how you go to churches, nonprofit organizations to show up, and you can pretty much take whatever. He's got bananas, he's got oranges. And there was an update, the food bank bandit was fired. It's a memo from TD Canada. Thank you for bringing this video to our attention. The alleged actions and messages captured in the video do not align with our TD values or culture of care. I confirm that the individual named in the video no longer works at TD.
Yeah, if you're going to scam a food bank, which is pretty fucking greasy, by the way.
It's greasy.
It's real fucking bad. But if you're going to do it, you don't do a video showing exactly how you're doing it and encouraging other people to do it, because that kind of shit, for once, will get you fired. And so I think that's it could almost be the happy news.
Honestly, I think I agree with you. It probably should be the happy news. Either way, it's nice to see some trends like that maybe starting to occur more often here, too.
Agreed.
Saskatchewan Mickey. While Albertans in their provincial government recover from the controversial news earlier this month that 4-liter jugs of vodka were available for sale in the province for under $50, even larger options have been available in Saskatchewan for years without causing a political storm. They said, 4 liters, we raise you 18.9. Okay, that's Saskatchewan. The Saskatchewan Mickey. First produced in 2016. Now, I want to get this right. Is it Raduga Distilleries? Do you know this place?
Raduga. So they make the provincial vodka. They're in Blaine Lake.
I know. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Is it Raduga?
As far as I know, I've
never. All right. Well, if I get that wrong, somebody correct me, please. Raduga Distilleries in Blaine Lake is an enormous vodka filled 18.9 liter water cooler jug full of vodka. Okay. It was basically used for house vodka in bars, restaurants, and lounges. And but eventually orders started trickling in from the retail liquor stores. They had customers asking for them. The Saskatchewan Mickey proved a wildly popular product, with distilleries selling nearly 200 of them last year alone. They had I like this line. They had Culligan jugs lying around, so we figured why not fill these up with vodka? And although he understands, this is one of the Raduga guys, although he understands there are some issues with the optics of selling 4 liters of hard liquor for under 50, Eberle describes being amused at the Tempest in Alberta. It's the moral uproar over 4 liters versus the 3 liter of a Texas Mickey, which are readily available at the majority of liquor stores across the country. And when put like that, he makes a very, very valid point, too.
I made that exact point to you last week before we were airing when you were like, why are we even talking about this? And now you're saying that he makes a valid point.
I'm going to be honest. Sometimes, folks, I just black out while Tuz is talking, and it all just goes in one ear and out the other ear. And this guy makes a very valid point. I don't remember hearing Tuz say anything of the such. All I heard was, me. And, you know, usually when a Calgary Flames guy starts making points, that's kind of where it goes.
Okay, well, that's probably just from the audio issues we were having before then. All right. Interesting side note, a buddy of mine in Saskatoon watched the mashup last week, and he texts me and he tells me about these jugs, and it didn't even occur to me. Like, so this article, Brian Pacifium wrote this today. We could have been talking about this exact thing 5-6 days ago, and it didn't even occur to me or 2 weeks ago, he told me. And so we could have been talking about it like 12, 13 days ago. And it didn't even occur to me like, oh, you know what? No one else is talking about this. Why don't we break the news on it instead of talking about what other people are breaking news on? So
yeah, Saskatchewan, 18.9.
A vodka.
When we have our curling tournament, we should get an 18.9, you know, just to show Albertans how it's done. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we should. Actually, do you think, well, I mean, we'd want them for Caesars the next day, I think. Yep. Do you think they'd sponsor the bond?
Raduga, we're looking at you, Saskatchewan. We're looking at you. Liberals solve everything. Reach out, text line. Liberals solve everything. New condo sales in Toronto region dropped to their lowest level since 2009 financial crisis, with investors balking at the lofty purchase prices and higher borrowing costs. The slowdown has imperiled the construction of homes at a time when governments are trying to spur more building in a bid to make housing more affordable. The cost of housing is out of reach for many Canadian residents, with the average monthly rent around $2,000 and the typical home selling for more than $700,000. The pace of home building needs to accelerate to meet the demand growing of a growing population, but the staggering drop in new condo sales will lead to less investment in housing. Quoted, "It is dead. I would never use words like this, but I am because it is true," said Simeon Papalis, managing partner with real estate brokerage Rec Canada, whose firm sells new condos.
Was it Simeon in the article?
I don't know. S-I-M-E-O-N?
Simon.
Is that how you say it? I don't know. Yeah. Sure. Simeon. Simon. All right.
Simeon Funky, Sean.
You had to call, you know, like I just roll through a name. You know, I probably got the last name, just butchered it. Tooz is going to call me on the first name. All right, fine. Simon says, Mr. Pavlis said the industry,
douche.
Industry used to handle, this is interesting. He said the industry used to handle an average of 300 pre-construction sales a day. That's 9,000 a month. So far this year, there has been an average of 500 pre-construction sales per month. That's how far down the new builds are.
Yeah, so that's like a 95% drop just about. Okay.
That's pretty wild.
It is. And then you've got this fucking guy.
Canada Post, for example, has more than 1,700 post offices across the country, many of them in central locations in their communities. We could build homes or apartments on top of these offices that meets the needs of communities while maintaining the services Canadians expect.
Okay, first off, Canadians don't expect fuck all from Canada Post. Secondly,
scroll down to the post office.
This is Carcross. I'm not sure where Carcross is, but yeah, here's a small town post office. Let's build an apartment.
Let's build
like nine stories. And
shut
this
up,
is
QDM, right? This Tufnell, yeah, Saskatchewan. We all know where QDM's new place of residence is going to be. It's going to be above the post office. That's probably where he's going to build his mansion, right there, Tufnell, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, here's the thing:
housing accelerator fund.
I don't think they're starving for space to build. In Tufnell, there's six streets, and one of them literally has nothing on it. This Cathcart Street on the end? Look at this Cathcart Street. First off, how drunk were they when they fucking squared it up? Secondly, you're like, okay, out of the six streets in this entire town, you've got this entire block that I don't even know why they bothered building that road.
Especially they were, that was
the point is that you've got all kinds of space when they're talking about like, oh yeah, we're going to build above the post offices. There's nothing but space around these things. You don't need to build above it. You can build beside it.
That's the Sunday when they had they were finishing off the Raduga Vodka, right? Like they're like, yeah. It's straight enough, isn't
they
it?
They built the rest straight enough down before the Saskatchewan Mickeys came out, and then this was the one they did afterwards.
You know, jokes aside, I've got to do an interview in Tufnel in the curling rink. Got a ton of time for Tufnel, so but absolutely. It is funny.
But I do got to point out that street.
100%. Alberta UCP throwing parties. Okay, the government of Alberta has tabled legislation that will give it sweeping powers over municipalities across the province, including the right to fire councillors and overturn bylaws. If passed, the amendments to the Municipal Government Act will allow cabinet to remove a councillor if in the public interest, or to order a referendum to decide whether a councillor should be removed, which will be reviewed in case-by-case basis. The amendment will also enable cabinet to require a municipal government to amend or repeal a bylaw, as well as giving cabinet the ability to postpone elections. Right now, provincial cabinet can only intervene with municipal land use bylaw or statutory plan. Only a municipal affairs minister can remove a sitting councillor under specific circumstances through a municipal inspection process. It goes on and on and on. How much more do you have to use?
Well, basically, it's interesting because they're doing something about the fact that you've got people like Sohi and Gondek pulling the wool over people's eyes to get in, and then having 4 years of just carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want. It is a little bit worrying with there's not a lot of details yet. And so people are filling in the gaps. Here's like conspiracy theorists.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem with it. Okay. Okay, you got a problem with Gondak. You got a problem with Edmonton. You got problems. The solution isn't more centralized power where you can walk in and remove this. We just had Jeff Colvin on, and now maybe they were right in removing him. Maybe they weren't. There's enough smoke there to give you pause. Okay, pause. That's all. Just pause. If you want to do it right, get recall legislation proper. Then it goes back on us. Not the provincial government,
people up
completely. Not the provincial government going, well, we'll decide. You know what? You fucks, pardon the French, have really messed some things up. And although I understand where they're trying to go because of what's happening in Edmonton and Calgary, when you give on more power to the government, because that's what this is, at least from the quick view of it,
here's
you want a solution? Recall. Put it back in the people's hands.
What that is, Sean, is that then they would be subject to it too.
I understand.
That's the trick. That's the rub. That's the double-edged sword that they don't want to grab onto. Because if they make good recall legislation and then they start really fucking things up, they're going to be victims of it. Okay? So they want to have a way to keep bad politicians in check that still gives them enough free rope to maybe become bad politicians at some point down the road.
Yeah, it's I don't know. On quick reading, I want to make sure I say this, you know, because the actual document is 120 some pages long. I started reading it, you know, and I my eyes glaze over when I do that. I think this is really important for Albertans. I think this is a big issue, something to really pay attention to as we move forward here and see what happens with it. Mm-hmm. But I go like, I understand that they don't want to do recall legislation. I don't care what to me, empower us. Right. Yep. If you want more people to be involved in politics, which I'm not sure they do, but if you do, you have to find ways for us to get involved. Recall legislation. You look at Gondak. If there was better recall legislation, and I'm forgetting his name. That's terrible. Who was the guy we had on?
Brandon Johnston.
Right.
And that's the other thing I wanted to point out about this. They talk about this is a long article all about recall legislation, and it's all from the perspective of incumbents. And they didn't even presumably reach out to Landon Johnston and say, well, what do you think about these changes? Like, it's always the vested interests that get interviewed. It's never the people who are saying, well, actually, this system's pretty fucking broken. What is this solution a good solution? You got just people saying like, oh, well, you know what? I don't really like this because then I might not get my full 4 years to fuck everything up. No. Go to the people who went knocking on doors for 60 straight days trying to affect this change and see what they think about it.
And see what they think. Yeah, I'm with you 110% on that. And once again, I'm sure there's lovely things in this, but centralizing the power is a terrible idea, in my humble opinion. And I would like to see us, the people, have more control over our municipal governments, not the provincial government. It only takes one tyrant, and we've seen that. We're experiencing that to really mess things up. And let's put more power in their hands. No, thank you.
I mean, why don't we just get Trudeau to be in charge of it?
Yeah, honestly.
And that's the question, is if you don't want Danielle, if you don't want Trudeau in charge of it, then you probably don't want Danielle Smith, because she might be a Trudeau one day. She might be a Trudeau that we don't know about.
Or it might not be. It doesn't have to be Danielle Smith. This could be in 15 years. This could be in 5 years. This could be so many different things. You're taking the power out of the people's hands. Let them have it. Put in good recall. And then, you know, away we go. Now you have a Gondak. They can probably get her removed. How many people didn't sign that petition because they're looking at that going, there's no way you're ever, ever going to hit this number. And they just moved on.
Yep. And there was a bunch of people who looked at it and said, I don't want my name on that because it might come back to bite me in the ass. Okay. But the thing about it is if you're in the UCP and you're worried about the potential ramifications of recall legislation for your job and your future in politics, there's a really easy way to get around that. Do a good job.
Liberals say immigrant doeth protest not enough.
Doth.
And
Shakespeare.
I don't know where I put it, too.
Yeah. So, Sandy Hogren, this could also happen under an NDP government. Absolutely right. Okay, so this is... Oh, wait.
You're talking Pakistani national, right?
I'm talking the kid who came over on a work visa or a student.
Yeah.
Simon Fraser.
Pakistani national who first came to Canada in 2019 on a study permit. Tuz messed me up. He went about four articles down. He's been arrested at least 10 times, convicted of mischief charges, and has been pretty open about his role in leading a foreign-funded rebellion against the Canadian government. And now, after years-long effort by the Canadian Border Service Agency to secure Hag's deportation, the 23-year-old's removal was stayed at the 11th hour, and I love how the article says, potentially due to the intervention of the Trudeau government. On Friday, Haig received a cryptic call from the office of Joyce Murray, the Liberal MP for his riding of Vancouver Quadra, telling him to stay by his phone. He was soon contacted by a CBSA case officer telling him he could stay in the country. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like,
his member of parliament's office called him and told him to sit by the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this guy has been involved in every, like, he's just basically a professional protester.
I wonder the mental gymnastics you have to do writing an article to throw potentially in there. Like, potentially, but the sentence...
I mean, it's mostly peaceful protester, right? It's that same thing. This is a mostly peaceful fire behind me, okay? And then, so this guy has been protesting Trans Mountain Pipeline and the cutting of old-growth forests. First off, if you live in Vancouver, ask yourself what used to be where your fucking house is before your house got built. It's going to be a giant fucking tree. Okay. Same thing, Victoria. All that whole area in BC, they cut down giant fucking trees so that they could build houses. So your whole city, your whole community, they're all built on former old growth forests. And I don't see you protesting that. Secondly, if we're going to build infinity billion houses in the next 5 years, like the Liberals are saying they're going to, even though it's mathematically fucking impossible, you're going to have to chop down a lot of fucking trees. I haven't seen any forestry agencies or companies or Greenpeace saying we need to build fewer houses because we're going to have to chop down Nova Scotia.
The one thing I will say on that is they are trying to do the rezoning, right? We talked about this in Calgary. right? So that you can build multi-dwelling homes in spots that isn't naturally for that. Commercial zones, same thing for that. They're trying to build on these things called post offices. They're trying to squash as many new builds with the max amount of people to put in them into places that weren't normally like that. So while you are true, they are doing a lot of shady different things that I got to learn a bit more about twos, honestly, on the rezoning of land in city limits.
Get Marty to get you in touch with a guy named Art, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, Marty, well, if you're listening, Art, yes,
it, you put know, me in touch. Even me. Like, we're on a corner lot, and I look over the fence every once in a while, and I see my neighbor's place, and I just think to myself, I'd like to just offer to buy him out so that I could tear his house down and have a bigger yard. Right? They just want smaller yards. They want nobody with any yards. If you ever see like the brand new houses being built around the edges of something like Calgary, there's you'll have a strip that's too narrow. Your entire front lawn is too narrow to do one pass with the lawnmower. Okay? That's your fucking lawn. This is what people are living in. And I don't understand it. I'm not interested in it.
Neither am I.
All right, I got to switch it back to the banners. Here we go.
Government drones on and on. And you are mixing me up, man. You are all over the place tonight. Okay. Uplands will be the site for a new $65 million military facility to control the Royal Canadian Air Force's drone fleet. The Ottawa installation to be ready by 2028 will be around 6,000 square meters in size. It will be home to almost 200 military personnel whose job will be to operate and control a new fleet of drones flying from military bases in British Columbia and Nova Scotia. Twos.
Okay. First off, we can't get our submarines into the water. Our ships are flying apart after like less than 6 months. Do we really want to have giant fucking unmanned planes in the sky with bombs strapped to them? Do we really think, like, let's, you know, this, the whole 12 steps for life thing, Sean, you know, make your bed, you know, clean up your house and then start worrying about what's outside. Let's put some bubble gum on our fucking submarines before we start worrying about air warfare. Okay. Secondly, no. There's two ways to interpret this article. Sean is laughing his ass off. I'm going to keep going. Okay. First off, they said the super secret installation, and then they did a public hearing about land use amendments and things like that. So either somebody fucked up and actually did a public hearing for the rezoning and the public land use of a secret installation, which is like imagine going to the people in Area 50 and 52 and saying, we think we want to put some aliens in between you. What do you think? We're going to have a bunch of counselors sitting around and everybody can have 5 minutes to speak. Okay. What are you going to call it? Well, I don't know, but your Area 50 and your Area 52 will come up with something. Okay. Now, the other way to interpret this is that it was going to be public the whole time and they're trying to hide how much money they're fucking blowing on all of it by making it as secret as possible. Both, I would say, are equally plausible given the level of corruption and ineptitude displayed at the federal level in Canada.
Our military is an absolute disaster right now. And all I can think of is Project Rainbow Shield. You know, that probably would be successful in Tooze's interpretation. And someday that'll probably get released that's going to happen.
They're trying to kill all the gays.
Only in Prince Albert. And I'm scrolling back now. Where am I going to?
There, I got you.
Oh, yeah.
Saskatchewan RCMP conducted a road stop near Prince Albert last week, only to notice the vehicle didn't have a steering wheel. Here's a photo of what the driver was allegedly using instead.
That's great.
Those of you just listening while you're driving, I hope you got a steering wheel. This guy has a pair of vice grips attached. If it works. And so at approximately 1:30 p.m. on April 17th, a member of Prince Albert Combined Traffic Services Saskatchewan conducted a traffic stop on Range Road 3063 in the Attikatupe-Shelbrook detachment area. During a traffic stop, the officer observed that the vehicle had no steering wheel. Really top-notch detective work, gentlemen. The driver was using vice grips to guide the vehicle, see attached photo. Investigation determined that the driver also had no license. Fair enough. As a result, the driver was ticketed and given a notice to have the vehicle inspected for safety. So they didn't even tow it. He's there with no license. They didn't even tow it. They just said, get it inspected. What's the safety inspection going to be? Are you going to put a zip tie on the vice grips so that they don't slip off? Saskatchewan RCMP reminds drivers they must make sure vehicles are well-maintained and safe to operate. Have you ever ripped the steering wheel off one of your cars, Sean?
No.
This is baffling. I don't know.
I loved it that it's in Saskatchewan because, I mean, growing up on the farm, we had Old Blue, and the key broke off in it, and you could just start it whenever you wanted. You did, and then the turner, like the I don't know what to call that. Where the key went into had like things you pushed ignition. On. That broke off. So then you had to like get it so you could twist it, but the key was like literally broke off in it. And then anyways, the ignition was broke too. But I look at that and I'm like, that's Saskatchewan right there. That was my childhood. That was Old Blue. I mean, we had a steering wheel though. That's taking it to a whole new level.
Ooh, that's upscale. That is pretty ritzy. I know for a while I had this old Hyundai Accent that just gradually everything broke on it. And just the whole thing fell apart. You had the window, like the door wouldn't lock because that little arm in there broke and it kept breaking even when you got replacement parts. So I tried taping it certain ways and things like that. And I had that door on and off so many times that the plastic rivets didn't even hold nice. And then I usually did the work myself, but I took it in to a mechanic shop one time and I think they backed into a door with the door open because after I got it back, I didn't realize next time I got up to highway speed, you had this draft coming out the passenger door around the top and it just never went away. And then the windshield wipers didn't want to work anymore, like right before I got rid of it. And I was like, I'm getting rid of this thing in a couple weeks anyway. I don't care. And so I just took the wiper blade off and I did that arm out the window just a couple times just because I was like, I'm not even going to bother with it. And then, yeah. So I can appreciate where they're coming from.
Dude's got his head out the window driving down.
Yeah. Just like Ace Ventura.
All right. Give me the next headline. Oh my goodness. We're sidetracked today, folks. We're having way too much fun. Mashup 104, you know, starting with a banger on the Edmonton Oilers in game 3 tonight. I don't know if you heard. Flames fans, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Not really that sorry. The thing we all knew. I'm so mixed up on headlines. We talking Harvey Weinstein here?
I'm looking at it, and I'm wondering what the hell happened with it, too. But here you go. AI can predict political orientations from blank faces. And researchers fear of serious privacy and researchers fear serious privacy challenges. Basically, they did surveys of people and then got pictures of their faces. And then now there's an AI that can accurately predict your political leaning.
You know, I was thinking about this. I'm like, when AI's predicting your political leaning, it's like, do you have to be that hard? I feel like if we put up 15 faces, me and you could get 50% of it. We could go over 50% of predicting.
You walk by somebody in the street.
Blue hair. Like, blue hair.
Trump is not my president.
Right. I just feel like it may be that easy. I could be wrong. Oh, hey,
and you're just like, you built an AI for this? Like, I would bet we are way more than 50% accurate. Like, attractive woman. Okay, yeah, she's going to be conservative, libertarian, or anarchist.
Moving on.
All right, we're going to talk. I didn't do a headline for Weinstein, but that's probably just as well. Because
I'll read it then. Disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction in New York has been overturned on the basis that he did not receive a fair trial. The New York Court of Appeals said prosecutors in the pivotal Me Too case called witnesses whose accusations were not part of the charges against him. The court said that meant he was unfairly tried to past behavior and ordered a new trial. Weinstein, 72, remains in prison. He was separately convicted of rape in L.A. I got something they could do. They could just take him to the train station and be done with it, fair trial or not. That's just a thought, twos. When it comes to the big old R word, rape. I got a place where they can all go.
It was crazy. There was another article. I should have included it in this, just in terms of context. But it went through this very long list of women who had been raped by Harvey Weinstein and their thoughts and everything on it. Now, I mean, granted, I'm fairly certain that not every woman that slept with Harvey Weinstein was raped. I imagine a lot of them were coerced. You know, the whole like, well, you want a part in this movie.
Yep.
You're going to have to do this. And the sad thing is with a lot of them, they slept with Harvey Weinstein and then they didn't even get in good movies. Right. But this.
Well, I remember when this first broke. Okay. I was sitting, we just went to a wedding in Vermilion. And the next morning we're sitting there at breakfast and I read the headline in the paper, right? Of all places, the paper. And I'm like, okay, another one of these things. And then it was like, and I was talking to Mel as I'm going, okay? And then I read like the first four lines and I'm like, I want to backspace, delete everything I just said. This guy is horrendous. Because it was just like, it was just the opening line of what he'd done to one woman. Mm-hmm. And then you find out how many and on, and the deeper it went. Well, and I was like, holy crap.
It was just this, like you saw jokes about it in so many TV shows and movies, and people would make references to it in interviews. Like Courtney Love being like, don't go to Harvey Weinstein's hotel room. And then 30 Rock, all kinds of Harvey Weinstein jokes. And so many things where you're just like, it didn't surprise any. The only thing that surprised anybody was that there was actual charges laid. Right. And then the fact that he was acquitted because there was more character witnesses aside from the direct charges. They're like, well, yeah, he also did this.
He also raped like 15 other people, but they were in different states. That isn't really a big deal
right now. But yeah, he totally had sex with them against their.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay,
we need an old form of acquitted.
You're getting acquitted because of that?
We need an old form of justice to come back for people like that.
Agreed. Okay, I think that's pretty much all of them.
Happy news. Happy news. No, wait.
The what?
Tuesday? No. Tuesday's killing me here.
No. Okay.
Where are you all over?
I was just like, maybe I'm crazy, but I know specifically that I did a headline for the influencers one. And there is no headline there.
Right. Well, here, several content creators were invited to Tuesday's federal budget lockup, where they got early access to Ottawa's new spending blueprint. This comes as the federal liberals are embracing influencers as they seek to win back disillusioned millennials, Gen Z voters, and others who consume information through social media. I can tell you one thing. They ain't disillusioned. You guys got your head so far up your ass. It's not even funny. And no amount of TikToker influencers, and I personally thought it was cute because one of the people in the article had like 24,000 followers. I'm like, oh, that's cute, that's cute. You know, that's cute. You got 24, that's cute. You know, I don't
there's,
know.
There's more people watching this, right?
Honestly,
well,
honestly.
I mean, to be fair though, like I had a few years ago, I was approached by a party asking if I would be interested in selling my Twitter handle to them.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah.
Selling it?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, would you be interested in selling us your Twitter handle? And I was like, nope. Thanks, though. Yeah. So, I mean, I was kind of, in hindsight, I probably should have been like, well, how much? You know what? But yeah. So, I mean, this stuff is definitely going on. All the parties are doing it. It's been.
Oh, yeah. All the parties are doing it. 100%.
The only difference is that when you're the people in Ottawa, you get to have the taxpayers pay for it.
This is true. This is very true. Yes. You're bang on there. But it doesn't matter how much taxpayer money they throw at this problem, Tues. We all see through it. They got $1 billion going to the CBC for Pete's sake. Nobody's watching. You know, there's a commercial in between on the Oilers game the other night. I was watching this thing called playoff hockey. I know you know nothing about it, but I was watching playoff hockey and it was like, hey, CBC.
I just muted Sean.
I've been insufferable and I love it.
Please continue.
Anyways, in the middle of the hockey game, playoff hockey, once again, you don't know what that's all about. Sorry, folks, but I'll reiterate it one more time. Anyways, it said playoff hockey is fun. And Calgary Flames don't know anything about that. Anyways, it said Gem, CBC Gem. This new show is free. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Nobody, it's like, I wonder, they have prime time. They have prime time advertising. That cannot be cheap what they're spending to be on the NHL playoffs, is my assumption, Tues. Mm-hmm. Highly doubt that's cheap.
Well, I mean, and I'm like, and they're, game, you're going to get a deal on it.
Well, I tell you, if it was a Calgary Flames game, you're definitely getting a deal on it. Oh, wait, they're not happening. So anyways, the thing is, well, the Edmonton Oilers are actually in the playoffs and they're
for
doing
another three games. Yeah.
Okay. You want to put a bet on it?
Not
you want to put a bet on the front? You want to put a bet on the first series? You think LA is going to beat the Oilers?
Not
first. Oh, backtracking. Backtracking Twos.
No, okay, all right, okay. Oh. We're gonna. Thanks for coming out, folks. This has been a great episode.
He doesn't want to put his money where his mouth is.
That's the 104.
Woo! I'm excited on this side, folks.
Against the Kings.
All right, I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Even the Flames know the Oilers are gonna get through the first round. Let's go. You hear that, Vance Crowell? We're coming for you. Anyways, I don't even know where we're at. Let's go to happy news. Can we go to happy news? 104, yeah, matchup 104. It's just happy all over. Game three tonight.
Advertising thing that nobody's watching.
The news of, here's the happy news. The future is now. This is a flamethrower dog. Robotic dog.
Flamethrower dog.
Yeah. Need to get me one of those.
Scroll down. It'll show you the video clip. If you scroll down just a little bit. Yep. There it is. So you can buy a flamethrower robotic dog. And I was looking at the Leanne Taylor, thanks for coming out, you jerk. She says put your money where your mouth is, and she also said woohoo, go Oilers.
The people
anyway, all right, back to this flamethrowing robotic dog. The thing looks fucking terrifying. It throws fire 30 feet. It runs off gasoline. Which is probably going to be illegal in a few years anyway, but you could just buy this. And if you go to their website and you scroll all the way down past all the awesome pictures, it says, need a wolf pack? Send us an email and ask about our bulk discounts. info@throwflame.com. And if you go down even further, it gets into its other projects, which are the X15 flamethrower, the XL18 flamethrower, and the TF-19 Wasp flamethrower drone attachment. You strap it onto the bottom of a drone, and it becomes a flamethrower. So you want to talk ungovernable? I think we need to talk about this.
Fair but enough. Cool. I want you to pull up this. This is where, before community news, I want to do this. Okay? Happy news, folks. It's been a great week. I stumbled upon this. We're going to watch the entirety of it. It's about 2 minutes. If you're inclined, probably
just
to.
It's, all right. It's awesome.
I told you, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome anywhere. Now get the fuck out of my bar.
Just give me one more drink and then I'll leave.
Hi, Peanut. I'm going to need you to come with me right now.
Look, lady, I'm not interested.
All right, well, I'm sort of on the tick-tick, so upsy-daisy. Oh, whiskey dick of the claws. It's quite common in Wolverines over the yes. Unless you want to take a deep breath through your fucking forehead, I suggest you reconsider.
The yellow suit.
I'm about to lose everything that I've ever cared about. Not my Marina fucking Catherine. Problem. Is that what you said when your world went to shit?
Come again.
This Wolverine let down his entire world.
Want to talk about what's haunting you, or should we wait for a third act flashback?
Go fuck yourself.
Life is a mystery.
I don't know anything about saving worlds, but you do.
Trust me, kid, I'm no hero. You were an X-Man. You were the X-Man.
I am soaking wet right now.
silly.
This is what I'm talking about. Big slow motion action sequence. Who knows if you live or die? Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah!
Want to do some cocaine?
Hey, cocaine is the one thing that Feige said is off limits.
What about Bolivian marching powder?
They know all the slang terms. They have a list.
Even snowboarding?
Even disco dust.
White girl interrupter?
Even forest bump.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yes! But I can't.
Yeah, come on.
Lots of great things in there. You even had right at the end, they're going through one of the sling ring portals. And it's everything you'd wanted it to be. It's obviously very R-rated.
Yes, yes. I just want to say that, you know, like, you don't have to be a movie lover to understand the importance or the fun or how long it's been. It was 2018 when, at the end of Deadpool 2, where Ryan Reynolds, or Deadpool, basically alters the timeline so that he could ask Wolverine to come back. Because if you remember Hugh Jackman, who is fantastic at Wolverine, okay, it's probably his best, most iconic acting role,
easily,
he said he said he was never coming back after his last film. So then that happened, and it set the stage of like, will he come back? And we're finally getting it in July. If you were listening to this, I apologize. You need to go watch the Deadpool Wolverine trailer. That's what we were doing. And man, I'm excited. I haven't been that excited. This hasn't been very good movies of late. Yep. Dune 2, I want to go see. I'll say that. But other than that, I don't know. Like, what are you going to see? That one? I'm like, I want to go see that.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right in that it's been a while since a good movie came out. And how hard does it really need to be for these people to just give the fans what they want?
Yeah.
Give them what they want. Oh, you want to see something awesome? Like Wolverine and Deadpool shooting and clawing up a bunch of stuff. Cool. All right. You pay money to go see that. All right. Let's make that movie. Like, where did that logic go? Also, I think that might be a gender swap Magneto in there somewhere. So
That kind of looked. Yeah. I'm waiting to see what they did there. I also saw that too. I'm like, what the heck is that? Now I'm hoping we're wrong and it's some other arch villain, but I don't know. That's what it looked like to me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. It could be some kind of a telepath or something like that, but we'll see. Anyways, that's it. Community events. What do you got? Anything going on this weekend, Sean?
We have this event called SMP Presents the Cornerstone Forum. Tooz is getting in his vehicle and driving as soon as he's done here.
After we're done here.
You got Drew Weatherhead to talk to him. He's going to be on his way. The Cowboy Preacher reached out to me this morning. Chris Sims reached out to me this morning. Chuck Prodnick reached out to me this morning. Yesterday, Mikkel Thorup and Tom Luongo landed. We're waiting on Alex Craner. Curtis Stone flies in today. Like, let's go. Let's go, Tooz. It's going to be a fun weekend in Lloydminster. That's what I got.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, folks. Mashup 104 in the books. And we will see you next week when we are back. 105 in the books. We'll have a whole bunch of things, I'm sure, to talk about. And here we go. 105 Tooz, till next week.
All right, we'll see you, buddy.